fills your mind. There's no room for anything else. There's no room for confidence. There's no room for assurance. How many of you ever had a situation where your mind got so clouded that you just stopped? You just had to stop. It's just too much happening. I mean, we've heard this terminology, that they had a nervous breakdown. Well, that means so much was going on in the mind, it just cracks, just stops. That's a bad place for everybody, isn't it? How would you like to be on an airplane and the pilot had doubt fill his mind? Or go to surgery, the surgeon, doubt fills his mind. You're in a classroom and doubt fills the mind. So the writer says, when that happens, you know what when that happens means? It probably will happen. If it happened to them, it'll probably happen to us. Bible says that there's nothing that we all share in common. There's some commonality to every one of us. And so environmentally, we're kind of common. Experience-wise, we're kind of common. Expectation-wise, we're kind of common. Even in the body of Christ, as it relates to the things of God, we're really kind of common. When they were all together on one accord, that means they were all kind of common. And so what he says is, when it fills my mind, where do I get my comfort from? How do I get myself back together? It's the presence of God. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. Remember, the Holy Spirit is there for us now to lead and guide us into truth. So when we start having doubts, now we need to rely on the resource that God has already put in place. As a believer, you don't ever have to scramble for the answer because the answer is right there in front of you. The answer is that very present help that won't leave you or forsake you. Just have to slow down. How many ever had that happen? Things are happening too fast, your mind starts, you just say, wait a minute, whoa, let me just slow down. Let me just slow down a minute. Hold on, wait. How many of y'all watch Jeopardy? Jeopardy's pretty good. You only got a few seconds, and then, it's over. But I like it because those people have prepared, and you can tell that, they hit that button, you see some of them, they faster than the button, and they can't get in, and every now and then you'll hear Alex say, you're going to have to slow down a little bit because you're hitting the button so fast, and I'm, from what I understand about Jeopardy, there's a little moment there where it won't let you buzz in until a certain time. But the reality for us is this. You have to slow down. That's why meditation is so good. If you start your morning off by meditating on what you have to do in the day, you really can kind of organize your day and follow your own meditation pattern. You can start out every morning with God and say, okay, I've got these things to do, so here's what I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. The will of God, then I'll do this. Blessings of God, then I'll do this. Help of God, then I'll do this. Trust me, you follow that pattern and you're going to have a much better day. He says, when doubt starts to feel, doubt is what the devil likes to bring to us. He's the author of confusion. How many of you have ever had a thing that you've done so long and on a particular day or a particular moment, you can't get your fingers to work? You say to yourself, what is wrong with me? You got too much happening. How many of you have ever had a couple of series of misfortunes, and then you start to doubt your abilities? You have a little misstep here and then a misstep, and then you start saying to yourself, what is wrong with me? Am I losing it? Doubt. If you doubt God, that's the worst doubt. The proverb writer says, and this is a simple blessing, but Solomon's so right, trust in the Lord with what? All what? Y'all don't know it? Y'all want me to turn to it? Trust in the Lord with all. That means don't leave nothing to chance. Put your whole heart in it. Put your whole mind in it. Put your all in it. And don't lean on your own understanding. How many of you know that some of us can read the same thing, hear the same thing, and not have the same understanding? Amen. That's probably one of the things that has been rampant in the church for years is that we got the same Bible, But we don't all read the same. We don't all come up with the same understanding. We don't all have the same interpretation. So we need the pastor. We need the teacher, the elder, the overseer. We need somebody to come in and help us to rightly divide the word of truth. But when doubt comes, if you don't think this works, you're probably not going to engage in it. How many of you ever had people talk to you and you can hear their frustrations and their doubts, and you look at them and go, why? I just don't trust that. That ain't worked for me. And you say to yourself, how could it not work for you? It worked for everybody else. It's doubt. There are people who are afraid to cross the street, afraid to come outside. They're afraid to try. How many of you know people who have never driven? And you ask them, why you don't drive? They say, no. Them people out there are crazy. They don't need me getting out there. It's something in that. Or people who, you know, the things that you do simply, they say, I can't do that. Part of what we used to do in the military, when soldiers come in, we call them trainees, we teach them to do things they've never done before. And we've had a lot of them claim they can't climb that high, I'm afraid of heights, or, you know, I can't do this, I can't. And we psych them out, get them charged up, and they'll do it. And then they realize, I overcame that. And next thing you know, they every time you turn around, they're going up. Okay. You have to build up and overcome your fears. So he says, when doubt fills my mind, and we don't want that to happen. Let's go over now to Proverbs 16. Amen. Everybody there? Almost? Proverbs 16. You got it now? All right, let's start at verse 20. Verse 20 says that those who listen to instruction will prosper. Those who trust the Lord will be happy. Those who listen to instruction will prosper. And let me tell you, let me give you this one. I'm working on this for later. We're going to do a series on what prosperity is and what prosperity ain't. But please understand, when you see the word prosper, don't let the first thing that come to your mind be money. That is not what prosper means. You know, you can prosper in learning. You can prosper in service. There's a lot of ways to prosper. But don't let every time you hear the word prosper make you think you're going to cash a check or that somebody going to give you something. No, that's not what it is. And we've corrupted that in the church, and people are running behind it and to no avail. You can claim all you want, but if you ain't got no money, them folk ain't going to give it to you. You can claim it, name it, and slam it and bam it, but if you take them people's stuff and don't pay for it, they're coming back to get it. And don't be in the name of Jesus nothing. Because a whole lot of that, the Lord ain't told us to say anyway, nor do. Why would God send you down to a dealership, walk around a car 7 times, and you can't pay your bills? Why would you, that's just crazy. And don't let no bishop, elder, overseer, prophet, nobody pour oil all over you and tell you, go on down there, daughter. It's waiting for you. Oh, it's waiting for you. Heartache, disappointment, and embarrassment. Because I don't know no place where you don't have to fill out some paperwork and they check some stuff out. You can walk in there with your clergy robe on if you want it. They're not just going to give it to you. And if you owe them, folk, the Bible says that we have to be good stewards. That means pay your bills. The Lord is going to forgive my debt. Yeah, when you keep paying them people their money, it'll be forgiven. Don't put that stuff on the word of God. It's crazy. Don't let nobody. That is one of the worst movements that has happened in the body of Christ, and it's rampant. It's ridiculous. All this stuff about you can speak it into existence. You try that. You tell me how many people laying in a cancer ward lack faith and die. They didn't like, that was God's will. You can say anything you want to. When things are happening, you can't just talk your way out of it. It don't mean they didn't have good faith. There's not one person in the hospital that wouldn't want to go home right now. And all these television folks telling about you have the power over it. No, don't misrepresent that scripture. It's not what it means. You can't, and all it does is frustrate the body of Christ. Because most of us probably know somebody who has been duped into that and left the body of Christ because they felt like God didn't work for them. Or something, you know, was going on and God didn't answer my prayer. Listen, stuff happens to all of us. And we can't just name it and claim it out of it. I don't know how it works. I can't explain it. I'm not going to try. But the will of God is not mine to control. I'll have to accept it in my life too. And I've had my moments. And all of the power, life, and death in my tongue, I can speak over it. I didn't claim it. There are a lot, how many of you right now can raise your hand and say that stuff happened in your life that you didn't claim either? I ain't claiming that. And you ain't got to claim it. It's real. And rebuking it don't make it go away. Rebuking it don't take the pain out of it. Rebuking it don't make it any easier. I rebuke this in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry. What you need to do is ask God for strength. Lord, help me. This has come to my door. I did everything I knew to do, Lord, but I need your help now. And your will be performed in my life in this matter. Yes, ma'am. I don't know. I don't know why things happen. But there are so many things greater. We're doing things greater. But that doesn't mean we have power over things that happen in life. Jesus suffered. And he's Jesus. You don't think Jesus, he's in the middle of getting beaten, scourged, so you think he's not going to, if he could do it, just say, I rebuke this. No, it happens. He died. He didn't pass out. He died. He died a horrible death. But that was God's will that we would live. So, you know, again, this ain't no cakewalk. This ain't about paradise and picnics. There's some pain. The Bible tells us we're going to suffer. And the power that we have does not eliminate suffering. It gives us the overcoming ability. It gives us the enduring ability. But again, unto death. We just got to trust it. I will tell you even right now that there are probably lines and numbers of people who are standing in a place of frustration because somebody told them do it this way and it did not work. Lazarus died. Lazarus didn't pass out. He was 4 days dead and stink. That means he was dead. And even the disciples misunderstood it. So let's go and die with him. Let's go. No. And please understand, if there's anything we need, it's sound teaching. Because things are going to happen. Job was perfect. Most preachers like to set it up by saying, and God set him up. God picked him out. Job couldn't stand and rebuke it. Read Job from the time things start happening. He has a good conversation. You know, he's a little frustrated. He's saying some things, but it ain't going to make it no easier. Ain't gonna make it no easier. Yes, ma'am. Well, two things always go together. How I trust God and why I trust God. They have to stay together. And what's happening oftentimes lends itself to the how and then the why. And you'll have people who may come along and tell you, you know, like Job's wife, just curse God and die. He said, no, I can't do that because I trust him. And this is how much I'm willing to. And as the thing in life becomes more intense or more painful, your how changes, your why changes. And if everybody ain't the same. There are some people who seem to have no problems. Seem to. They trust God. You trust God too. But the reality for us is we have to realize that that word prosper has been mismanaged. And so this is what he tells us. He said, when you're getting smarter, when you're learning God, because you're listening to instruction, you will prosper. And it doesn't mean you're going to the bank. And all the things I've said to you, has anybody's checking account changed in the last 10 minutes? No. Can you reach in your pocket and go, ooh, look, I found $1,000. This is priceless, what we're doing, but it ain't going to make you rich. Doesn't make me rich. And so he said, listen, those who do this, and you know what that means? Not everybody will. Not everybody will. He said, those who trust the Lord will be happy. I'm pretty much happy. You know why? I choose that. Now, it doesn't mean that there are not moments when even though I counter to choose otherwise, that I'm not sad. I've had things in my life that have made me sad, but I've kept ministering to myself to get my joy back. Give me back my joy. That's what David says. Joy, you know, we like weeping men, do it for the night, but joy. Things will make you sad. Death will make you sad. Disappointment will make you sad. But you got to get back, you know, you have to minister to yourself and say, well, how many had things that you just had to get over it? Yeah, you just had to get over it. Say, oh, well, it didn't work out like I thought it would, you know. And crying is not necessarily about weakness. It's cleansing. A good cry, you know, you just sit down and just boo-hoo-hoo a while. And then how many of you know after a while you just got to say, well, you know, I can't cry forever. You tell yourself that. I can't cry forever. And I can't remember the movie now, but it's a Chinese movie. It's a Japanese-themed movie. But there's a line in that movie where the lady tells the girl that after the crying, you still have to live. You know, she was heartbroken because they took her lover away or something like that, little geisha kind of thing. But grandma gave her a note, said, after the crying, you still must live. You can't go into a state. There are people who literally have fallen into depression because they couldn't get happy again. You got to get happy. Find something to be happy about. Get a puppy. Do something. I don't know. Go have a drink. Do something. But your joy is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But again, that's what happens when you have a sound constitution of learning. He said, those who do that, those who trust God, when you trust God, you can be happy. How many ever told somebody, I ain't worried about that? It's going to be what it's going to be, whatever. I trust God. The Lord will make a way. Somehow, anyhow. God can do things that are certainly unexplainable. You know, God can bring you out when folk think you ought to still be in. One of my favorite songs, I picked some song, but there's this Marvin Sapp song that says, somehow I made it. I made it through. In spite of the storms and rain, I never lost faith in you. That's beautiful. He said, it came at a high cost, but I made it. That's my testimony. And so your joy is in understanding where your joy comes from. So he said, that's what's going to happen. Then he goes on. I like this. Verse 21, Proverbs 16, verse 21. He says, the wise are known for their understanding. They're known for that. How many of you know people that are wise, have good understanding? Okay, let me show you how we did. Back in the day, in just about every family, we had that wise old grandma or uncle. And everybody went to him and said, well, go talk to Big Mama about it. They're known for it. And they know, they don't always tell you what you want to hear, do they? He said, look here, honey, let me tell you something. If them old folks said that stuff, they stuck to it. And then they'll tell you things like, now you do what you want to do. But listen to me and hear me well. They were wise. And they'll say stuff like, I didn't get old being a fool. They were wise. There were ladies, and I know, again, I grew up in the South, but there were ladies in the community where everybody went to them. They went to, when you talk about old ladies, an old lady come in, the Lord is kind. Good morning. You know, there were people in our communities where they said, well, you need to go down and talk to Miss So-and-so. You know, why? He said, people who are wise, They're known for having understanding. You don't want to talk to irrational people. You ever been around irrational people? And you mark them off and say, that's crazy. They're known because they have understanding. They'll listen. How many of you have been around somebody, you went thinking you're going to get a quick answer, and all they did was listen? And you say, well, and they said, no, you might ought to let that simmer a while. You don't have to always give a quick answer. But this is what he said, the wise. How do you become wise? Because you have understanding. To study and show yourself approved, to be an understanding person, to do what the Deuteronomy letter says. He said, listen, don't forget. Always remember, take into consideration what God is doing. How many of you ever had to just step back and see the bigger picture of what God is doing? You know, you're in the midst of a thing and you're getting all jittery, and somebody comes on and says, just take a step back. Think about that. The wise are known for that. Watch this. Then he says this. This is beautiful. He says, an instruction is appreciated if it's well presented. Amen. How many of you ever had somebody tell you the right thing, but it's just the way they said it? That's where that old saying comes from. It's not always what you say, it's how you say it. Instruction is appreciated if you present it well. That's why we want to be careful how we talk to people, even when we write. Even when you're right, you want to say it in a way. Even if you're telling somebody to do something, if you're a supervisor or whatever you're on your job, there's a way to get people to do stuff. You know. And you don't have to be dogmatic. You don't have to be mean-spirited. Even in the body of Christ, we have to be very mindful how we talk to each other. Even when you're right. Even if you've been wronged and you're right, you still need to govern your tongue. He said, the instruction is well appreciated if you present it. And it doesn't mean you have to be soft. Doesn't mean you have to compromise, but there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. When I was in the military, we had a couple of sergeants that were known for being, you know, a little gruff. And, rah, rah, rah. And every now and then, Sergeant Major would come down and say, listen, I'm gonna need you to go down there. You take care. I can't let him go down there right now. I mean, even though he's right, he's good at what he does, he just, you know, he'll tick the soldiers off before they go to work. And, you know, a bunch of ticked off soldiers don't work right. They'll work, but, boy, you can tell the way they're working. And so we'll send a little guy down there with a different tongue. Same instruction. Same results we're trying to achieve, but it's just that this person knows how to say it. You know, and so he said, now, these things go together. First, you got to be a listening person. You also have to understand that instructions are brought to us to make us prosper. Again, not money, but to grow in the Lord. And then he says, please understand, watch this. Verse 22, discretion is a life-giving fountain to those who possess it, but discipline is wasted on fools. You know what that means? You use your mind properly, you'll be able to discern between this and that, that and this, and you will realize that there are some things that as a child of God, we just don't do. We say, nah, that means there's a way that seemeth right. It looks good, but no, I'm going to pass. There's some things we can say that we could say, but we're going, I won't do that. Go down there and blast them out. Go down there and bless them. It's amazing how we took that word and turned it into an evil thing. Oh, I had to bless them out. No, that's not what blessing is. And then discipline. In other words, when he's saying how we govern the church, how we govern the children of God, it's wasted on fools because they ain't going to do it anyway. How many of you been around folk that just won't do right? No matter how many threats, no matter how many things you promise to take, no matter, it don't matter. They'll try you. You know, my grandmother used to tell us that, don't y'all try me. Don't try me. You know, and if you don't have discipline, we spent a lot of time talking about that months ago. If you don't have discipline, you're dangerous to everybody, especially yourself. He said, this is wasted on fools. Why? Because they're not gonna connect. How many of you ever had somebody say, no matter how many times I tell you, you just won't do? That's the lack of discipline. no matter how many times they tell you, no matter how many times they warn you, no matter how many times you see it, how many whippings you got to get, how much more suffering you got to go through, how much more agony you just don't get it, do you? You lack discipline. And it takes a lot of discipline to live in 2016. It's crazy. You can do anything you want to do pretty much, and not too many people going to care about it. But you got to be able to say to yourself, no, not going to do it. And you need to be able to discern things. You need some discretion. You need to be able to govern yourselves. Remember that we say that all the time, govern yourselves accordingly. You need to be able to say, you know what, that's not for me. That's my old life. Oh, there was a time when I might have. But discretion now comes in, and you say, no, I've learned better than that. I know better. And knowing better means you ought to do better. Anything else is foolishness. To know better and not do better is foolishness. It's counterproductive. How many of you ever said to yourself, why do I keep doing this to myself? Nobody ain't raising their hand. Yeah, you're your own worst enemy. You lack discretion. You lack discipline. And you say to yourself, I must be crazy. You pretty much are on a good theme right there. Instruction, you've learned, you know better. You have the knowledge now. You've studied the Word of God. You know what God requires, and yet you keep going the wrong way. Grandma said, if you keep standing out there in the middle of the road, somebody going to run over you. The first few drivers may try to go around you. Somebody going to come along and say, if that fool was stupid enough to stand out in the middle of the road, I'm going to give him what he's looking for. Amen. You do know some people will try to run over you. You stand in the wrong place, do the wrong thing. Some folk figure, okay, you that's how dumb you are. And so it is. When it comes to discretion and discipline, they got to go together. And so he said, you do need that. Listen well. It's life-giving. If you can discern a little bit, that's life-giving. It'll nourish you. It's a fountain. That means it'll nourish you. Fountains were critical in the old day because not all the water was drinkable. So if you found a good fountain, man, you took advantage of that. You got fresh waters. It's life-giving. And you know why it's critical to have life-giving? Because we're dying. The wages of sin is death. We're born on our way back to the grave. And please understand, it's up to you. Because if somebody teaches you and you don't take advantage of the learning, how many of you ever been in a course where people flunked? And you say to yourself, how do you flunk the course? They taught you everything, they test. All we do is teach and test. Teach and test. And they flunked, and you look at them and go, and then they mad. That was too hard. I was sitting next to you. I took the same course you took. Some of us are good students. Now, I will give you that. Some of us are just better students than others. But my point is, especially if you knew it was easy. See, oh, this cakewalk here. You know, some people go into learning defeated. So they're afraid of it. Man, they say this course hard. Don't listen to people. Take the course. You go in there and do your thing. So he said that's what we have to do. Then come down to verse 23. From a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Amen. How many of you ever been around people that you just love to hear them talk? Because they speak very wisely. You know, they didn't just make that up. From a wise, when you got it, man, just love to hear them talk. You know, y'all remember those old commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks? You know, people listen when E.F. Hutton talks. Well, you know, did any of y'all ever meet E.F. Hutton? I don't even know if he exists. No. That's just the name of the company. There might have been a Hutton somewhere along the line. But, you know, that commercial, everybody knew that commercial. You know, and they would show people, they'd be busy, busy, busy. And then the guy said, who's your broker? My broker is E.F. Hutton. Because he was so known for wise and good investment. You know, Merrill Lynch and all those guys. No, it was E.F. Hutton. Y'all remember Paul Masson? What was Paul Masson's theme? What was their advertisement? We will sell no wine before it's time. In other words, they were very methodical. They showed them looking at grapes and walking away and all that kind of stuff. But that was the, and people believed in it. You know, that when their grapes went to be processed, they were ready. And so it is in the body of Christ. He said, listen, from the wise mind, that's good intelligence, comes wise speech. There's a Dalai Lama. There's what's that other person everybody chase after for information? But, you know, people go and want to sit there and listen. Well, you can be your own sage. You can be your own wise person. You study the word, learn God. And when you talk, people say you make good sense. Anybody know people, anybody like that? Anybody know anybody wise, with wise speech? Two of y'all know somebody like that? Three, four? Y'all know me. That counts. From the wise mind comes wise speech. And then he says, listen how it all comes. He says, and the words of the wise are persuasive. How many of you believe you have the ability to persuade people? Amen. Most of you should raise your hand. Really, you do. That doesn't mean anything deep. But if you can talk a good game, that's what we like to say now. If you can talk a good game, you can get people to do stuff. How many of you ever talk somebody into going with you or helping you do something or not do something or do something just a little better? You have that ability. You can do it. And especially if you use it for good. If you use it for kingdom purpose or to better somebody's quality of life. How many of you ever tried to help somebody? It starts with what? Speech. Most of what you do to help people is going to come out of your mouth, which comes out of your head. You say, I got to say something. I don't want them to. How many of you ever tried to warn somebody on a bad path? And you say, should I say something? Ever wrestle with that? Anybody ever wrestle with it when you wish you? How many of you have that I wish I had said something testimony? Because you want to save a life, keep somebody out of peril. You say, I should have said something. Follow your heart, especially if it's good. Everything you say to people won't always be easy. But remember what I said now, how you present the instruction is what makes it acceptable. You can't walk up to somebody and just blast them. Even if they did, you got to do it in a way that the proverb lets you. It's how you do it that makes it happen. Say, listen, I love you. Sometimes, you know, how many of y'all ever had to set your speech up? I said, now, you know I love you. You know you're my friend. And they'd be like, what? And you say, well, you know, I just want you to know now. I mean, you know, you got to do all that. And then it still go bad. they still swell up and go, ah. And you say, okay, I still love you now. We still going to be boys after this, right? Yeah, we're going to be all right. Yeah, you sure now? Yeah. Now, you know we go way back like freaking fracking Cracker Jack. Yeah, I know. And then you put it out, then they go, that's all right, we through. You say, but you said we were going to be all right. I ain't know you were going to say that. But it's how you do it. Watch this. This is beautiful. Kind words, verse 24, kind words are like honey. Watch this now. Sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. That's why you need to do your due diligence when you talk to people. Kind words, it makes us stronger. Listen, you don't ever want to go into a person's life just to wound them and destroy them. You want to make them healthy. You want to be able to go in, and just like surgery. Surgery is to take bad stuff out, not to make us worse. It's called infection. You know, if everything doesn't go well and an infection comes in, now we got to go back in there. And you know, we don't want to do that. You know, do no harm. Isn't that what it says? Do no harm. And so if we're not going to make you better, then we're going to have to figure out a way to help you live with bad. Somebody gave me that saying years ago, you know, if Lord, if you're not going to fix it, show me how to live with it broken. If God's not going to, now, I don't have any doubt that God can fix everything. But as I said to you a little earlier, there are some things we're going to have to live with. So if God's not going to do it today, Lord, teach me how to live with it broken. You know, if I got to be shipwrecked, teach me how to survive on broken pieces. If this thing ain't going to stay together and be whole, show me what to cling to. You know, if I'm not going to come out, you know, as pure gold, show me how to come out with your glory. Amen. Please understand. And Reverend Uriel is here with me. Please don't let nobody ever try to convince you that you are entitled to the same results that Job got. Not everybody's going to get double for their trouble. And no preacher shouldn't be telling you that. You know, you're going to be just like Job. You're going to come out with increase. No, no, no. Not everybody's going to come out with increase. Some of us going to come out busted and be busted for a while. Some of us going to have long seasons of enduring heartache. God is not going to microwave you and just make you smile. Some things are going to linger. You know, the Bible said Job got double. That was Job. Your name ain't Job. God doesn't owe everybody the same thing. He's no respecter of person, but he knows what he's doing in your life. And how many of us can testify that some of what we've had to deal with, we had something to do with it? I will tell you that sometimes some of the emotional and physical things we go through, we had something to do with it. It ain't all, you know, no curse. It ain't all that God ain't fair. Some of it is that we've made a lot of bad decisions. And now we're going to have to get past the results. Amen. And so he said, make sure that you are doing it in such a way that it makes a person healthy. Because from the wise mind, most of you consider yourself pretty smart, I guess, or, you know, halfway decent, halfway intellectual of some sort. Nobody don't want to be considered a bonehead. But from a wise mind comes wise speech. And wise speech is persuasive. We can get people to do stuff, especially when we use the word of God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't have to play the word of God. We don't have to try to make it say what it ain't saying. That's why we don't have to tell people, about, oh, you're going to have increase. I'm coming with increase. I'm going to get mine. Some things ain't nothing to go get. Amen. Everybody's not going to come out with increase. Amen. Some of us are going to have to learn how to live in the dry place. Amen. And God is not being unfair with you. That's just your course right now. All of us in this room are not on the exact same course, but we have the same God. Amen. And so a wise mind, so what we want to do is keep working to build intelligence. Again, as we said earlier in Proverbs 3, y'all didn't want to quote it, but Proverbs 3, and he says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will. Trust in the Lord with all of it. If you don't trust God, how much can he trust you? If you won't listen to God, what can you say about him? If you won't follow him, where are you going to end up at? Some of it is simple, but the mind is so critical. How many of you ever told yourself, I should have followed my first mind? I don't know how many minds y'all got. Y'all messing up one, don't have three or four of them. But it's important for us to understand how critical this operation is. And if you don't do that, then it's nobody's fault. You can't blame other people because you've been hard-headed and disobedient. Amen? All right, it's right at a quarter till. We're going to try to keep y'all close to time today. Did it help you a little bit? Just a few things to learn, and we'll talk about some more things. Thank you for your patience. Thank you to our media people. We lost you for a little while, but we came back. But thank you for hanging in there with us. Let's pray together. Merciful God, our loving Father, we thank you today for giving us this day. And certainly, God, we pray that these words of life have brought new life to the believer. And we pray, God, for those who are seeking to know you, that these words have drawn them closer, that they might make an informed decision today about their relationship in Christ Jesus. Again, God, we thank you for these who are with us and pray, God, your blessing upon their lives and those who listen, share with us through our outreach ministry. We pray, God, that they too have found strength today, that they might fight the good fight and run on and see what the end shall be. God, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Amen.